my name is Gosia from the Channel Cosmic Agency. As I have announced in the section community, where I announce the upcoming videos, today I'm going to present to you a very, very important and very serious video, which actually will be divided in two parts. The first part will be basically Svaru's exposition on the subject, and the second part will be me and Robert interacting with Svaru, asking her questions about this, so you can understand this topic further. And this is the topic of the direct contact with the human race, whether we are ready for this massive and open contact with the extraterrestrials or not. They have been here for a long time. They have been studying, examining our race for a long time, interacting with humans directly. And they have reached certain conclusions. And Svaru here explains these conclusions and her point of view and her ideas about this topic. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be something, you know, love and light and peace and all is good and ascension. She's not here for that. She's here to wake us up, but in a different way, to push us forward, to wake us up from the inside, so we ourselves can help ourselves in this process. So I'm going to leave you with the video. Enjoy it, listen to it very carefully, and I'm going to see you at the end of the video.
When did you arrive in orbit and why? Even though the Taygetan race has been involved with humans of the Earth since millennia, the more recent arrivals from the point of view of the linear time were in 1775 in Virginia, USA, an incident in which George Washington talked with a Nordic woman in a single-piece uniform. This took place in the woods just before the crossing of the Potomac River. 1919 to 1945, Germany, Austria, Rachel and Synonym. 1952 to 1961, USA, Russia, Rachel, Thor. 1975 to 1981, Switzerland, USA, Semyase Asket. 2008 to 2019, World, Asket, 1112 and Company. I, Svaru, arrived for the first time on the 30th of October 2015. Then I went back and returned here on July the 4th, 2017. Taygeta has been continually present here since 2008. Aneka from May of 2016 until now. I have always wanted, since my previous incarnation as Svaru Ananda, my mother, to travel across the space and explore, something that life itself didn't offer her. Therefore, I enlisted as a pilot and qualified as a sand clock pilot in its English translation. As the Asket 11 fleet was here, and with what was happening at the moment in terms of action in space, I arrived temporarily as a communications cadet and sand clock pilot of the team of Rachel of Temer. Hence, in December 2015, I volunteered for a mission. It was the first mission with the new Susie-class ship to Aldebaran Sinriel. There were six other people, including Zadkiel of Temer and Eridania Yelena of Era. Okay, generally, why did the Taygetan team arrive here? It is well known that this is a historical moment on Earth, where it branches off in two from the point of view of the population. Those who will see a better Earth and those who will remain in their negative creation. It has to do with the end of the negative time period and the arrival of positive energy from the center of the galaxy. Asket and her fleet have come to remove all the direct negative influence of the regressive races so the Earth can be liberated. She wished to liberate the Earth in a military way, as was done with Alpha Centauri. It was the right time to attack their aggressive races on Earth. Okay, when you arrived in 2008, did you enter directly into contact with humans or with the representatives only? At that moment, in 2008, Taygeta was already generally aware that it would serve no purpose to talk to the official representatives of the Earth, that is, the politicians. We already knew that they do not represent the population in general, because we had already, since 1952, had bad experiences with them. The US representative Eisenhower completely ignored us. Later, his successors accused us of being space hippies, a term used by Richard Nixon. The state representative who did listen to us was Nikita Khrushchev from Russia. He ended up very badly because of our contact. He listened to us, largely preventing the missile crisis of 1961-62, only to be removed and isolated from the Soviet Politburo for wanting to share with the world his contact with us, specifically with Rachel. So, you have stopped contacting government people and you began to contact individual people. What was the purpose of these contacts? How many have you contacted and what did you wish to achieve with this? Here, I refer to more extensive contact than ours alone. We initiated a project that we can translate as Project First Contact. It began under ASCAT and consisted of no less than 550 Taygetans, if not more, to flood Earth's social networks openly, saying that we are extraterrestrials. The goal or aim was to understand at which evolutionary point the human population in general was, seeing that the contact with the political leaders of the Earth was useless. This took place between 2009-2016. Tell us about this massive contact experience. How was it? How was it received? What have you learned? Out of thousands and thousands of people contacted all over the world, only 10 to 15 half believed us. And out of several thousands, it became less than 5. So, could you say that the mission of mass contact failed? The project First Contact was a success. It indicated to us that the Earth's population in general is not ready for contact. That is because it is still very much under the mental control of the cabal. The general population is not interested in or believe in contact with extraterrestrials. Those who saw it as something real or as a real possibility did not see the usability. It was just an entertainment subject. People still believe and find themselves trapped in concepts of creationism, Darwinism, or Sumerianism. We also found that under the influence of the New Age, people with some knowledge of the subject saw us New Agey. We saw that contacts who could help us lacked the financial resources to support a disclosure. Those who had achieved a mechanism to more or less make it financially, generated by the same platform, were attacked for the very same reason. Although we recognize that thousands have accepted us for who we are, through these videos, for example, they do not represent the majority in the world. And we have found that the very same people are the matrix. So we are automatically attacked by not belonging to the matrix. They contradict themselves because they attack the same freedom of expression that they claim they want to protect. We have also found that social media are designed to create conflict, not to communicate ideas. We have found that there are many people on Earth who are ready for contact and who are awake as to what is happening on the planet. We have found that there are very wise people down there, wise in many ways. But overall, as a planetary culture, you are not ready for contact. In fact, you are much more backward or immersed in what we have called the Earth Control Matrix than what we thought in the beginning of the project First Contact. Many of you have asked, why the primary directive? You see it as something negative or limiting that does not allow you to be assisted more. But it exists to make sure that the respect for people's and cultures' free will is respected. In this case, it is also to protect all who inhabit the Earth. In general, the majority of you, and as I said above, this does not apply to everyone, are still in a victim deterministic mode. What you would like is for the Federation or anyone who can provide direct help to come and solve all the Earth's problem in an open way, by removing the corrupt politicians and totalitarian states. The Federation, the races that it is composed of, cannot act like this in Earth's case, because most of the people there still want the experience. This goes even for those who say they are awake and who have expressed a direct disagreement with what is happening with regards to the general dynamics that occur or follow, as they are living as citizens of the Earth. We see this because even if you say you are against the unfair system and are awake, you still continue with behavior patterns that support the matrix. And you also remain attached to the value systems that the matrix itself, the controllers themselves, have set in action to prevent you from truly escaping mentally and from their planetary control matrix consciousness. You are still perpetuating attitudes that allow the matrix to grow in the negative and invasive direction, against humanity and the people of the Earth. An example of this is to continue consuming junk items and to eat useless GMO food. To accept the use of harmful microwave technologies just because it is convenient at the moment. Being attached to belief systems imposed by controllers, by the Matrix. No religion on Earth serves you, since each and everyone was made and designed for population control, commissioned by those in power. All religions work against you. They don't tell the truth, and this is also true for the avatars they use. Your science is also dogmatic, therefore it too is religion. This has already been clarified in detail. Although your science serves to design a better bread toaster, it does not serve you to create free energy technologies so that the population grows, evolves, and does not have to pay for it, much less to understand how the universe works. Human science is designed from its beginnings with self-limiting systems that do not allow growth beyond certain aspects and ranges of consciousness and thought. An example of this is your mathematics that is based on a decimal system, and it does not allow the understanding of the base energy frequencies of everything that exists, of universal energy, how it works and how to access it. Your equations create a mathematical system or a self-sustained reality that does not represent all that happens in the outside world, or maybe only partially. In the same way, you ought to understand that concepts of socialism, capitalism, and democracy are also only illusory means or mental compositions designed for population control. These concepts only serve those in power. They create an illusion of being in control of who represents them. All important elections are already decided in advance, who will be elected and who will not. The minor elections of representatives of small towns that are not key to some other agenda will give the election to the people. But in the end, all the options will lead to the same point, since they are controlled from above. It doesn't matter which face represents them. As for minor elections of representatives with little power, there are cases of real people who want to make a change. But the same system will ensure that they do not go beyond this low-level political stratum. And all this is due to the intervention of invasive secret societies, mostly with economic corporate interests. The primary directive is there to protect the free will, what for us has been quite complex to transmit and to understand on behalf of the Earth's population, is that the free will that protects the primary directive does not only include the mentally conscious part of what a person, a citizen of the Earth, incarnated there, desires. I refer to what each person consciously wants. The prime directive protects the deepest part of an incarnation's intent, the prenatal agreement of what a soul wishes to experience on Earth while being incarnated. In this case, there is often a clear conflict between what an incarnate person consciously desires and what the same person desires from the soul levels, from the levels of other densities. We recognize that the prime directive is not perfect and that it cannot include complex situations that occur on Earth right now, and it is mostly left to the personal decision of each ship's captain. The people of the Earth want to be helped openly and directly, but at the same time, we have seen that you contradict yourselves, since you would see it as invasive on the part of the Federation. A direct intervention would be an act of war, with all its subsequent problems and consequences, in addition to moral and ethical issues that come into play from our perspective as so-called stellar races. Because we, nor anyone, don't have the right to impose our concepts and values of what is and what is not true, what is and what is not moral, and what is and what is not ethical on a population that we don't know, only under the circumstantial premise of believing ourselves to be superior to said population. Superior? Under which parameters? Decided by who and why? The Federation, among other organisms or space organizations, does openly help Earth's population, with focus on the regular, normal population, not the overall governments, nor the organizations controlled by the governments themselves, corporations or secret societies. But the assistance is given in such a way so it is not seen as coming from someone outside the Earth. The reason or cause is always given as something explainable in a normal and understandable way from the Earth's population point of view. But there is a more solid reason not to be seen or not to intervene directly, as many have pleaded. And it is the fact that if someone outside of you intervenes and solves your problems, you will not grow as a people, race, and culture yourselves. And you will inevitably fall back into the same vices and problems. While the Federation and other space organizations have removed or are removing the negative influence of the regressive stellar species alien to the Earth, your problem down there is generated by you yourselves. The very population of the Earth, and I refer to the conscious, real people with a soul, you are the matrix itself generating it. the problem of the earth is generated by the very population. You are not victims. It is what you have created individually and as a collective. As I have said many times, until exhaustion, the external world is a direct reflection of each person's internal world. If there is apparent confusion, destruction, anger and pain in the world, it is a direct reflection of the mental state in which the human population is involved. This also applies to the regressive races, the secret societies, the Archons and the like, that have invaded or manipulated humanity, from a certain point of view creating the problem. But from the most expanded point of view, it is not the case. All these species are opportunistic. They just went in there to take advantage of the very mental state of confusion and mental disorder of the humans. If it were not for such disorder, they would not have been able to manipulate the human population. The same way as they cannot enter other stellar populations composed of more humans, strictly speaking, the same species. The human beings will do everything possible to avoid facing themselves, their inner problems, the shadows that they have repressed into the subconscious and that cannot be destroyed, and only go out of control by not being embraced within the framework of direct awareness of each person, leaking outside the person, manifesting itself as a destiny. As your great thinker Carl Gustav Jung said very well, what you repress and do not face inevitably will direct your life, and you will call it fate. The contact with the Earth's population from 2008 until today, as having been realized by the Taygetan race, has made us comprehend that the nature of Earth's problem is not as we thought. It is not a simple situation where a regressive race has invasively taken control over a less developed one. We have found that the true cause of the problem is the Earth's population itself. The cause is seemingly powerless people who do not bother to make a minimum effort to improve their own lives, always shielding themselves behind the idea that they are victims of something else that does not let them do anything with their lives. Of course, they are victims. There is no doubt about that. But what will they do about that today? The very controllers of the Earth, the regressive races and secret societies, are all generated and manifested by the population of the Earth itself. If you can generate and manifest all that, you can also remove it. There is nothing too small not to make a difference. Earth's value systems do not allow you to see the importance and the consequences, positive and negative, of small acts. You know this concept as the butterfly effect. Going down the street and seeing a small earthworm wallowing on the hot sidewalk, with its certain death to come. Picking it up and putting it back on the grass on the wet ground does not seem like a great feat. But for that worm, it means everything. It means life. That little act brings positive shockwaves for those who do it, for those who receive it, and for everyone. The mind, the psyche, transcends the imposed material 3D. In itself, it is the way out. Having advanced spiritual consciousness, the person or the soul escapes the matrix of the earth, the Van Allen belt. Individual work is the way out. The collective follows automatically the individual work in mass. The collective shadow work is comparable to sociology, and with it, one begins to return to old vices of imposing ideas and concepts on the masses. I do not doubt that you are victims, because this is a complex situation, like a vicious circle. But the fact is that the humans have the power to stop the situation on Earth by themselves, but they don't do it because they don't desire it or don't see it. Or they desire it, but they are still comfortable, perpetuating things that feed the very matrix itself. This goes even for those awake. You have to look for what you can do today for yourself, to improve your life, with what you have at hand, what you can do. Nothing is insignificant, but the problem is yours. We can only remove what does not belong to you. It is your individual growth, as and with experience, as it is at the species level. My conclusion about the First Contact program, which has been extended to thousands upon thousands on Earth, is that you are not ready. Mentally, you are very regressive and dangerous. This is why you are not prepared for mass or even individual contact as a race yet. The masses of men and women in the Western world compulsively avoid the true and authentic psychoanalytical investigation of their natures, particularly with regards to the so-called darker aspects of personality, the shadow self. However, not dealing with the psyche at all is systematically dangerous. A commitment is required. Therefore, the proliferation of philosophy and the New Age movement, along with its many permutations, infested with tricks and personalized twists for the ego, the application of its methods serves, for the most part, simply to reinforce that failed ego and its impulses. The gigantic catastrophes that threaten us today are not elementary events of a physical or biological order, but psychic events. To a very scary degree, we are threatened by wars and revolutions that are nothing more than psychic epidemics. At any moment, several million human beings can be struck by a new madness, and then we will have another world war or a devastating revolution. Instead of being at the mercy of wild beasts, earthquakes, landslides, and floods, modern man is struck by the elemental forces of his own psyche.
Well, what did you think of the video? I know it wasn't easy at some point to hear, but it wasn't for me either. I must admit, I feel a lot of compassion for the humans and a lot of passion for us. And as you know, those of us who are ready for the contact and ready to be in this new phase of interstellar existence, we are ready for the contact, and we have been, and we are asking for it. And so this is not such great news, right? However, you know, she is here to give us the truth. These are the facts that they have been gathering from their examinations. They are here to give us the truth, what it is they have observed. Svaru is not here to be popular, as she always says. She's not here, you know, to be one of those messengers of love and light and peace and ascension and all is great. She's here to give us the facts and give us the information that is going to be empowering, because what it is empowering. It's not just that it's, oh, negative, they are not coming, but actually there are reasons behind this, and there are tools in her messages to keep advancing, so that one day they might come and reveal themselves and work and cooperate with us directly. You know, this whole situation reminds me actually of someone in my close family, there is a man, a boy, close to my family, and I'm only going to mention him because it reminds me of actually how I feel, Varu feels about the humans and how they feel about the humans. It's how I feel about him. I'm from Poland originally, and I have left Poland, I left Poland 20 years ago, more or less. He hasn't left the country, even though he has been dreaming of going somewhere else, of not working where he's working, and of basically having a different life. He's suffering, he's depressed, he has been wanting to change his life for years. But what has been happening? For years and years and years, he has been asking me, as someone on the outside, someone with the apparent better life and apparent tools for a better life, to give him help and to take him out of his situation. I'm not going to go into details, but I basically refused the kind of help that he is insisting on receiving, which basically I refused to physically take him out of the country, look for the job for him and the place. Because for all this time, he hasn't proven to me, he hasn't shown any sign of effort to actually want to apply these changes himself. He keeps complaining and whining and just basically sitting on his sofa and crying all these years, but he hasn't applied himself to actually change his situation. He's taking refuge in his traumas, in his psychological situations from the past, in his direct environment, because all these factors are shaping us. It is true. Svaru is also admitting we have had traumas in the past as humanity. Our circumstances are not too easy to deal with. Of course, this is undeniable, but none of this, absolutely none of this, denies the fact that there is potential in us, ourselves, to change the situation, just as there is a potential in him to change his own situation and not just sit and wait for the external help. I feel sometimes I believe in him and I see more potential in him than he does in himself. And that's why I want him to see himself and I want him to liberate himself and apply his own power that I know he has. And that's what I see, that's what I feel, Dvaru feels about us, the humanity. It's not that they don't care, it is exactly because I do care about this person in my family, just like it is exactly because Dvaru cares about the humanity, that I am not offering this direct assistance to him as he is expecting me to offer to him. Because when I do that, if I do that, and he doesn't rediscover the inner potential and power to affect change himself, then whatever I can offer is not going to have a permanent effect on his life, because it's going to be a phase. It's going to be just a period in his life. I'm going to find him a job, fine, go. And then what? He still will be lost by himself on his own without having discovered his own true potential. And it is because I care about him that I don't want to do that, that I want him to find a way to himself, despite the traumas of the past, despite the psychological difficulties. These are not the things that govern our lives and that of which we should be we should feel victims of. Yes, he is a victim in a certain way of circumstances, just like we are as humans. But we need to realize, we really do need to realize that these things do not govern us and we do not need to feel victims of the past and of these traumas anymore. There is so much more in us to discover. There is this amazing, amazing, incredible power. We are the creators of the reality. We are the matrix itself. We are the generators of this matrix. So if we keep being so attached to the state of victimism, of wanting someone else to help us because we can't do it ourselves, then we are cementing the matrix even more, and we are getting more and more in this vicious circle. So it's really important to pay attention, listen to this video again. There are important clues to changing our mindset and to advancing individually as a race. Individually, it's also very important because, as she says, focus on yourself, apply those little changes, and then as a ripple, it will affect others. It's going to affect everybody on a more collective level. Even like she said, which I was surprised, because I do that, you know, if you see a little bug on the street or somewhere, or a mosquito flying, don't kill it. Take it away somewhere where it can continue its existence. Pay attention to these little details. Don't think they don't matter. Everything matters, even the smallest details that you and the smallest changes you might apply in your life. But do take it seriously. Do take it seriously. Just going back for one more second to this story of my family member, which applies perfectly to the situation of the humanity. I heard this nice saying, which applies to both cases. When someone is hungry and you want to help, you don't help him by giving him fish on a plate so he can just fill his stomach and not be hungry anymore at that moment. You teach him how to fish. You teach him how to fish. So this is why I have refused openly in my family to assist him in this way, because it's not going to be permanent. He is going to fall back on his back on his old mindsets and errors, and his life will go back to how it was before. I'm trying to teach him how to fish so he can do it himself, and this is what Svaru is so eager about, to teach us, give us tools so we can apply these changes ourselves. If not, and as she's saying, we are not ready for the contact yet on a massive level. So again, take this message with wisdom, with careful examination. These are the facts. This is how the situation is at the moment. But I do want to finish on a good, optimistic note. You know, as she said in the end, you are not ready for the official contact. However, as I already know them, you know, they are a very dynamic race, especially Tegus and Pleiadians. They are very fluid and always adapting to new circumstances and new data. This is the data they have for now, and I don't think it's going to change anytime very soon, because it's quite strong data they have. But, you know, you never know what might happen in next year, in 5 years, 10 years. So who knows what circumstances might appear, new situations. So new conclusions might appear. We never know. So don't lose hope. However, this doesn't mean, again, sitting and waiting for that contact. That's not the idea at all. The idea is to go and apply these changes yourself, from the smallest one. And I'm the first one here guilty. You know, she mentioned Doritos. She mentioned using, you know, the 5G technology. Like, we keep falling back on these matrix things, because we think, okay, it's nothing. It's comfortable. It's not going to affect me that much. But this is supporting the matrix in a way, in quite a big way. So try to keep applying the changes. So the next video will be the second part, as I said, with our questions and much more information. You will actually understand the situation even more reasons will be given and behind all the situation, and more factors to consider. So in a few days, the video should be ready. And you'll be able to see even greater panorama of this complex, very complex situation. Well, thank you very much for watching. Keep applying those changes, keep the frequency, and I want to see you in the next video. Thank you. Bye-bye.